Next on the 5 o'clock report.
Typically more severe respiratory symptoms.
Meals for yourself and your family for free.
We have been successful in purchasing those.
We banned fentanyl.
Families are learning to engage with each other again.
No one will be turned away.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. New York State lawmakers have passed a budget.
The budget was difficult because the state has no money.
Governor Cuomo calls it a spending plan to be proud of.
The nation's first domestic terrorism law. It improved bail reform. It addressed this child vaping scourge. We banned fentanyl.
Despite the COVID crisis, lawmakers have added priorities.
So we really start with an assumption. And when we see how much revenue the state makes, how fast the economy comes back, what the expenses are, we'll calibrate accordingly.
The spending plan gives Governor Cuomo sweeping new powers to control New York spending. Meanwhile, no pay in PA for 10% of state workers as the Wolf administration aims to reduce state spending.
The affected employees have jobs that cannot be completed through teleworking. Starting April the 11th, those workers will have to use vacation, sick, or other personal leave time if they want to continue receiving paychecks. Otherwise, they can file for unemployment. It's unclear just how long the state will withhold paychecks, although Wolf has said that state offices will remain closed until at least April 30th. The administration said it will continue providing health care benefits for all affected workers. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. This comes as jobless claims in the Commonwealth have reached 1 million. Nearly 200,000 people filed for benefits through Wednesday, which is actually a sharp decline from the week before. In New York, more than 369,000 filed for unemployment, which is an increase from the previous week. The State Labor Department says it's seeing staggering spikes in phone calls and web traffic since the health crisis began. GOP lawmakers in Pennsylvania have sent a letter to Governor Wolf urging him to expedite the reopening of businesses who can still adhere to social distancing guidelines. Still to come this Friday, business loans in disarray, wearing masks in PA, and food for the hungry.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Most of the weekend looks precipitation-free and relatively mild. For tonight, some evening sprinkles, drizzle, and fog, low temps 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, then some breaks of sun develop in the afternoon. High temperatures in the 50s. There may be a shower late tomorrow night or Sunday morning in western New York in particular. Otherwise, on Sunday, a cloudy start and some sunshine with high temperatures in the 50s to near 60.
Thank you, Kevin. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says the recent news on unemployment is bad, but warns it's going to get worse.
In the weeks ahead, it's going to get worse. I can't pull any punches on that. This is a very deep contraction. The numbers are going to come in very badly. They're going to look terrible.
Kudlow said the small business loan program that starts this week should give a lifeline as most of America is in lockdown.
The key point here is I think the arrangements and the adjustments have been made. Mr. Mnuchin has said we're open for business on this.
Some banks say they need more details on how the program works. As cases reach over 8,400, Pennsylvania continues contact with FEMA for medical supplies to fight the coronavirus.
We did not receive all the resources that we asked for, but we did receive resources several times.
PA Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
We are also really scouring Pennsylvania and other places in the United States to purchase those type of materials, such as the N95 masks, gowns, ventilators, and we have been successful in purchasing those and are expecting orders all the time.
A ventilator is vital for each patient with a severe case of COVID-19. Meanwhile, the National Rifle Association plans to file a suit against the state of New York over its decision to deem gun retailers non-essential businesses. State Attorney General Tish James issued a statement that everyone must follow the law and all executive orders of the Empire State. And Queen Elizabeth plans to address her nation for only the fourth time during her 68-year reign on Sunday. Buckingham Palace said the message was recorded at Windsor Castle and will be aired on TV and radio at 3 Sunday afternoon. Next at 5, some COVID-19 symptoms seem similar to the flu, common cold, and even allergies. Dr. Dawn Day with Spring Arbor University talks with Family Life's Brandon Dixon about signs of the virus.
One of the NBA players that had been diagnosed with a positive test with coronavirus, something that he had mentioned and others had chimed in saying they lost their sense of smell. Is that possibly a sign of coronavirus?
Yeah, so we are hearing reports of some patients who are experiencing loss of smell and or taste because those two are closely related. And we don't have significant data yet to say that this is across the board symptom of coronavirus. The American Academy of Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery are asking that these are added to the list of symptoms so that people can be aware and maybe more prepared. But we also see these sensory losses in people with the common cold or sinusitis because inflammation or viral damage occurs in the upper respiratory system where we're seeing these viruses, but we're typically seeing this in older populations, and it is temporary. So it's seen, but temporary.
Piggybacking off of that, though, we have heard that there are similar symptoms for sure with the cold and flu and obviously COVID-19. So are there some telltale signs that we could pick up on that, okay, this is not just a simple cold, this is something more serious like the COVID-19 virus?
I think that people need to consider, first of all, were they exposed to anybody that tested positive? Were they quarantined properly, or did they put themselves at risk at all, or were they at risk for any other reason, going to work or whatever? Also, people should consider their own health patterns. So, for instance, if it's allergy season and somebody typically has allergies, then they could decrease their exposure to the pollen or the allergen by closing windows, washing clothes and hair, and seeing if those symptoms decrease, kind of ruling out some other things before they think that it's COVID. With a cold, typically we're going to see symptoms like nasal congestion and a sore throat, sometimes runny nose. And the flu, while some of these common symptoms are the same as COVID, like fever, cough, or fatigue, the flu really has a much more sudden onset and people recover from it quicker, whereas COVID has a gradual onset and typically more severe respiratory symptoms like the shortness of breath. So it's kind of sometimes a rule out to kind of look at those symptoms and see how fast it came on or how slow it came on. But it is important to note that from what we're seeing in most cases of COVID, about 85% of them, they're mild and they can be treated at home with Tylenol for fever and some good hydration. So once people have ruled out some of these other things, it's best to just call their doctor and ask them how to proceed and if they need to come in and be seen.
I think the public is pretty well knowledgeable, thankfully, on ways to stay at home and protect themselves, some of those things that you had mentioned earlier. But you being within the medical industry and being around healthcare, are there any other things that we should be concerned of regarding this illness or that might not be on our radar or aren't talked about right now that we should know?
Yeah, Brandon, like you said, we are well informed. People are learning fast. And we still have a lot to learn about the disease because we're learning more every day through the studies that we're doing on COVID patients and how others have responded. But I think moving forward in this kind of new normal, we're going to begin to hear about the grief that people had about what life was like before COVID. We're going to talk about the psychological impact of this experience, the social isolation, fear and anxiety that many will suffer. I think that's going to be a prominent discussion. But I think we'll also begin to talk about the positive outcomes from what we're experiencing right now. You know, in our nursing programs at Spring Arbor University, we have over 1,100 students and 150 faculty who are all nurses. And they're on the front lines, like you said, through all of this. And we're hearing about the initial panic and stress from them, but we're also hearing how people are praying more. They're praying with their families, their patients, with each other. They're learning to reprioritize and to slow down, enjoying the moment. They're not taking things for granted. We're seeing communities band together, delivering food and supplies to hospital staff. And where they're able, nurses are watching each other's kids so they can continue to work. Neighbors are being better neighbors. Families are learning to engage with each other again. And we're just learning how to be patient. We're learning to be still. So I'm kind of hoping that these are the things we're going to start to see on our radar as we move forward.
That's Dr. Dawn Day with Spring Arbor University. You can catch up on all the Family Life news features at fln.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks fell today to end another volatile week of trading, pressured by a spike in coronavirus-related deaths in New York, while investors digest a dismal U.S. jobs report. The Dow today down 360 points, the Nasdaq fell 114, and the S&P 500 was down 38. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Time now for today's MoneyWise Minute with teacher Rob West.
Are you tired of battling to make ends meet every month? Wondering why God's so slow to meet your needs? Consider this. God's promised to meet your needs, not necessarily your wants and desires. A roof over your head is a need. A want might be 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, and a swimming pool. God's plan could also be to meet your needs through the abundance of a fellow Christian. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 8:14, where he says, "At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need." If you struggle with a real unmet need, set aside your pride and let your church family know about it, and seek to glorify God in the process.
And you can learn more about trusting God with your finances and find some tools that'll help when you visit moneywise.org. That's moneywise.org.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delfiat.
Thank you, Tracy. Hey, there's some basketball action tonight, kind of. The NBA, the National Basketball Players Association, and 2K Video Sports holding the NBA 2K20 Player Tournament. Actually airing on ESPN and ESPN2, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, and Zach LaVine, among 16 players vying for a $100,000 prize. That prize will be given to a charity in support of coronavirus relief. Tokyo, Japan's governor said that the under-construction Athletes Village, originally meant to house athletes for the Olympic Games, can now be used as temporary hospitals for coronavirus patients. The massive housing development was designed to hold up to 11,000 Olympic and 4,400 Paralympic athletes and staff during the Games. In Oregon's Sabrina Ionescu continues to add to her list of accolades, winning the Naismith Award as the best women's college basketball player after also taking home the Associated Press Player of the Year Award. The three-time All-American is the first college basketball player, male or female, with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists in a career. Congratulations. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiat.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We head into the weekend with a lot of cloud cover to start. Cloud cover left over from an ocean storm that will be departing, but leaving low-level moisture behind. What that means for you and me is a pretty cloudy night tonight, and the expectation that clouds will be stubborn to break during the weekend. But on the other hand, most of the weekend itself looks precipitation-free and relatively mild. The call for tonight, some evening sprinkles and drizzle and fog, low temps 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, then some breaks of sun develop in the afternoon, high temperatures in the 50s. There may be a shower late tomorrow night or Sunday morning in western New York in particular. Otherwise, on Sunday, a cloudy start and some sunshine with high temperatures in the 50s to near 60.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, Mayor de Blasio says New York City is now giving out free meals to hungry folks at hundreds of sites across the city.
So many New Yorkers have lost their jobs over the last 3 weeks that Mayor de Blasio says there's a real fear that many in the city are going hungry.
Anyone who's hungry can come to these 435 sites. You can get all three meals for yourself and your family for free. No one will be turned away.
Noah Layden says folks can find the nearest food site through texting. Meeting needs with a bit of technology. And that's the world we live in this 3rd of April. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.